Okay, I have another one of those embarrassing science fiction confessions to make. Add that to Star Trek and Doctor Who and Buffy. But this one is, I like the Transformers movies. The ones made for small boys, you know. You know that the Transformers, Hasbro toys that look like cars and trucks, but when you lift this, slide that, pull down here, voila, your car has become a robot with special powers to resist evil and protect the Earth. There are bad Transformers too, but I'm not talking about them. From the outside, an ordinary car, but that's just for appearances. The truth is on the inside, ready to spring forth when needed. It's an intriguing image. From the outside, a car, no threat to the status quo. From the inside, something completely different, something that the powers that be never saw coming. Kind of like the crucifixion. Execute one Jew, from all outward appearances, a simple solution. But then, between Good Friday and Easter, something unexpected happens. You lift this, slide that, pull down here, and suddenly the cross isn't a symbol of defeat anymore. The resistance begins. And people who said yes to Jesus and his message about God start saying no to the authorities who want to shush them. A transformation is underway, a subversion of power that acknowledges the crucifixion but hijacks its meaning. So, no, the disciples say, they won't stop preaching. Yes, we understand this brings us up against the empire, but no, we won't stop. There's more at stake here than what meets the eye. The cross is the turning point, the pivot, the birth of a resistance movement. People who had been empowered by his life discovered that they were still empowered after his death. For them, the cross became a complex symbol. On the one hand, it signified imperial power and the oppressiveness of domination systems, something to resist. On the other hand, it signified God's transforming power and the alternative vision of Jesus, something to embrace. In other words, the cross is something of a transformer. It looked one way to the Romans, but to believers, you lift up this perspective, you slide in that understanding, you pull down a different vision, and you see a symbol of resistance to injustice and an affirmation of Jesus's message of inclusion, compassion, peace through justice, and an economy of enough. It's a message that we still need today, the affirmation of justice and inclusion, but also most definitely the resistance. In the reading, Peter and the apostles make it clear that resistance, saying no to the powers that be, is often the way to say yes to God. This spring, the United Church of Christ is sponsoring what it calls Mission for One Earth. We, along with hundreds of other UCC churches, are helping to reach the mission's goals of providing 1 million hours of earth care, as Anne was collecting, and I hope you are too, planting 100,000 trees and writing 100,000 letters of environmental advocacy. The mission puts before us another powerful symbol, one that, like the cross, invites both resistance to the powers that be and empowerment to be agents of transformation. That symbol is the globe, a visual representation of the planet Earth with its ecosystems, climates, and biodiversity. 3 years ago, I think it was three, John Cobb, who has a special relationship with this church, a theologian up in Claremont, John Cobb was invited to speak at the annual meeting of the Southern California Nevada Conference of the UCC. He gave a speech that electrified everyone lucky enough to hear it, and some of us sent a written version of it to the national office. And I like to think that it inspired, at least in part, Mission for One Earth. He titled his talk, A Challenge to the United Church of Christ. And it began with these words. My challenge can be put very simply. I am proposing that the United Church of Christ take as its mission working with God for the salvation of our world. The proposal makes many assumptions. First, it assumes that the world needs saving. A second assumption is that God cares about the world and about the salvation of it. A third assumption is that God is already working in and through creatures, especially human beings, toward the salvation of the world. A fourth assumption is that the United Church of Christ is uniquely positioned to give national and even global leadership in accomplishing this important work. And from there, he proceeded to make his case. The world needs an alternative vision to ensure planetary health. That vision must include a careful appraisal of the threats we face and knowledge of the efforts that are already underway to face those threats. We need to be guided into seeing what changes and what new ventures would be most promising for redirecting the whole into more sustainable and regenerative patterns. We need to clarify what can be done at the local level with private initiatives and what can be done only by legislation. Also, what requires international or global agreement. That's a huge vision, and it has to come from somewhere. Someone has to own it, and it needs leadership. Cobb considers and then rejects, for various reasons, the political and educational institutions. He then turns to religious institutions, respectfully considering the world's great faiths, but then concludes that Christians have been the most active on the world scene in recent centuries, and just for this reason, we Christians have a special responsibility for dealing positively with the world's problems. So, if leadership is to come from the Christian faith, which group, he asks, is best positioned to do this? Catholics are the largest and best organized, but they are fixated on sexuality and reproductive rights, gender and sexual orientation. Progressive Protestant denominations are potential leaders, but they too are preoccupied with sexual orientation. It distracts them. But there is one major denomination that, as a denomination, has made its decisions and moved on. The United Church of Christ voted in favor of LGBT ordination in 1972 and took its stand in favor of marriage equality in 2003. At a time when the global crisis is so acute and the voice of Christianity in relation to it is so muffled, the UCC has cleared the deck, so to speak, and is uniquely positioned to act. Here's Cobb again. Let's suppose that the United Church of Christ became visible in our society as the place where the broadest vision of what needs to happen could be found. Let us suppose that people had some confidence that this vision was being constantly honed and its implications for action reformulated as the global situation changed. Suppose people thought that typical UCC local congregations shared that vision, kept up with the developments relevant to it, and suppose that congregations found ways to play some role in implementing some part of the identified need. Children growing up in such a community might feel that they were at the center of action that the world needed. They might understand that the faith underlying those actions is worth incorporating into their hearts and minds, and that this faith could be a center around which everything else they learned could be integrated. Make this your mission, he challenged us. Resist the power of corporations, the junk science that denies climate change. Say no to a culture of consumption. Affirm the interdependence of life. Say yes to God and creation. Whether the symbol is a cross or a globe, lift this, slide that, pull down here, transform the world.
Let us pray. Loving God, we gather here today as your gathered people. We come from our individual lives with all of the problems and challenges that we have, and we come here thinking about what the world might look like if we embodied your dream for us, if we embodied the kingdom of God. And loving God, we know the temptation to just be comfortable, to be secure. We know the temptation of being distracted by so many things that are not nearly as important as we think they are. And to acknowledge that one simple fact that we are called as a church to be that new thing in life, to offer the new possibility, the new way of living here on this earth, not in some world beyond this world, but here, right now. And loving God, we pray for this little church, the Brea Congregational Church, being part of the larger United Church of Christ. We pray for all of the leadership up and down, that we would boldly claim that the kingdom of God is here and it is now. And so, loving God, guide us in all of the small and large ways that we can implement your kingdom here and now. We pray for ourselves. We pray for the leadership of our country. We pray that they would see clear that violence only begets more violence, that true peace comes only through justice. Help us to follow the example that Jesus set. Help us to follow it courageously in his way of living toward God, in his way of saying yes to God. Loving God, we have so many thoughts and feelings that go on inside of us all the time. Sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes we feel guilty. Sometimes we feel proud. But loving God, we know that we are called to act, sometimes in spite of the way we feel or because of the way we feel. And loving God, this morning we lift up these people in our prayers. We pray for Ingrid Pullen, for successful recovery in St. Jude. We pray for Joan Weber for healing. We pray for Joseph for healing. We pray for Susie Hargrave, Helen Lamb, and Madeline. And these are only the people that we express through words. We lift them up along with all of the others that we hold dearly in our heart, knowing that each person that we hold dear, we lift up to you. And we thank you, loving God, especially for your Son, Jesus Christ, because in his life and teaching, in his death and resurrection, we see how your transforming power works in this life. And we thank you by remembering how he taught his own disciples how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.